Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
We have no idea who it is, but I just happen to know that the reason that I was trying to help her as a friend financially, because she was in some deep financial problems about to not even be able to pay her rent. So I don't know who's behind it, but at this point, but we are going to try to figure out as much as we can, because this is a direct character assassination.
Why do fools fall in love? Why do birds sing so
gay? Oh, yeah. Step right up. Throw the balls at the Republican figures. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What a pathetic country this is. We have an overt Marxist incompetent in the White House, and the best the Republicans can offer are... Let's go down the list. A Rockefeller Republican, a country club Republican, a retreaded old white wall tire that's been rolling around the Beltway for about three decades. And what are you going to categorize old Herman Cain as? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, shame on me. Do you feel betrayed by Herman Cain? I mean, is it the biggest story of the day? No. But I mean, what's this guy going to do after all of this, losing his credibility? Barney Frank, we know he could become assistant coach at Syracuse University after he leaves Fannie Mae or wherever he was. Or he can go to work at one of the other sports centers in the university. That's a perfect fit for Barney. But what is Herman Cain going to do? He can't go back to talk radio, because I'll tell you one thing about this business. If you lose your credibility, you're out of business. Unless you want to go to work for a liberal station and they don't exist. Most of the so-called progressive talkers are gone from the airwaves because they have no credibility. So the only thing a conservative talker has as currency, not the only thing, the primary thing is credibility. The next thing is talent. But the thing is, you know, Herman Cain, I don't know what he's going to do after this. It's pathetic and sad. It's sickening. I'm actually depressed from it. When you compare the Stalinist on the other side and you see a guy like Herman Cain, looks to me like he's been deceiving us. Sorry to tell you that. You know, I mean, really, it's unbelievable. Here you got the DNC chairwoman from Florida, whatever her name is, Schultz, whatever, Becker, what's her name? Where is this? Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Florida Democrat, says that there's no such thing as voter fraud in America. And she says we should not have photo IDs. Now, you understand why the Democrats want illegal aliens to vote. You understand why the Democrats do not go along with what most American people want, which is voter identification. I mean, you do need voter ID. You need identification to drive a car. Is that correct? Don't you need ID to drive a car? What else do you need ID for? And yet to vote, when people died for the right to vote, this Deberman, Wasserman, Schultz, whatever, add another hyphenated name to that one. Florida Democrat says that we don't need voter ID laws. It's unbelievable to me. You know what was said in the ex-Soviet Union about this, don't you? Remember what Joseph Stalin said, all you good Democrats? He who votes does not have power. He who counts the votes has power. How do you like that one? You want to hear another one that came out of the ex-Soviet Union? One death is a tragedy. 1 million deaths, statistics. What else did they used to say in the ex-Soviet Union, Debbie, and all you other left-wing Democrat fascists? It is not important to have voted. It is important to have counted up the votes. I mean, you only have to look at Senator Al Frankenstein to see who won an election with less than 1,000 votes that are now thought to be fraudulent, to see why Acorn and the other fraud artists are so important to Debbie Wasserman, Schultz, Clinton, Obama. Do you understand that? Without voter fraud, there'd be almost no Democrat Party. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz - Florida Democrat - chairs the Democrat - National - Committee. Vote fraud is rampant in the United States of America, and photo IDs are the most important thing to protect the sanctity of the vote. Why must the Democrats keep coming up with these Debbie Wasserman stupids? Why? Why do they come up with these people who say there's no voter fraud, this and that? What is she saying? Unless we can cheat, we're screwed as a party? Why would any party oppose voter ID? There's only one reason, because they live off fraudulent votes. So I guess we're going to have to put the Tea Parties outside every polling place in America, and IDs will have to be demanded. I guess we're going to have to occupy the voting booths, the voting areas, and demand ID. That's all we're going to have to do. A survey was done, by the way, of the saddest cities in America, and what's astounding is the list. Saddest city, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, why would St. Petersburg come out as the saddest city in America? Sunshine State, three of them. St. Petersburg, well, number one saddest city. Two, Detroit, you can understand that. Number three, Memphis, saddest city. Four, Tampa, Florida. Five, Louisville. Six, St. Louis. Seven, Birmingham. Eight, Miami. I was just there last night. It didn't look depressing to me. And how did they calculate which city is the saddest? The study was done by, I don't know what they looked at, the number of households that use antidepressants, as well as the number of people who report feeling down all or most of the time, and the rate, or it's not the word, the right word. When they say the rate of suicide, they really mean the incidence of suicide, but they don't understand epidemiology. The incidence of suicide and the amount of antidepressants used tell you if a city is sad or not. So St. Petersburg is number one, sad. Miami is number eight. I was there last night. It's a great city. It's alive. They got people running around, dogs, bicycles, steaks, beer, cocaine. I mean, what more do you want? Why are they so depressed there? Happiest cities, Honolulu, Hawaii, Manchester, New Hampshire. Fargo, North Dakota is a happy city. Oh, my God. Could you imagine living in Fargo for the rest of your natural life? Omaha, Boston is a happy city. Why would Boston be a happy city? Madison, Wisconsin, happy city. Sioux Falls is a happy city. St. Paul, Minnesota is a happy city. Burlington, Vermont, happy city. And Plano, Texas. Plano, Texas is a happy city. I'm not going to ask you a question. What's the point? I'm so depressed looking at the Kane story and to see that this flat tire. Oh, Newt Gingrich is running up in the polls. It's sickening. Where the heck is Romney? Where is he? What in the world is this man thinking? 1-800-449-8255. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, I'll take a pepperoni. Jeffrey in St. Peter's, Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'm really happy in St. Petersburg. It's a beautiful city. And I'm going to support the retread that's been rolling around the Beltway for the last 30 years, because I heard him last night announce that after he is inaugurated, one of the very first things that he'll do, Doctor, is move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And he went on to point out...
Well, okay, you know, he's doing that to appeal to the Jewish voter, but you know, the thing is that Newt is a double talker, you know that.
I know he has baggage, but I also...
Baggage?
Know
he has a broken suitcase that he carries around with him, and he has a suitcase that goes back so far it doesn't even have wheels on it.
I understand all of that.
He has a suitcase made of leather with a strap around it that he has to schlep through an airport. It doesn't even have wheels on it, and that thing is filled with so many skeletons that if they ever fell out, he'd be arrested for a Halloween impersonator.
In all my years of following politics.
Come on. I'm not going to get mad tonight because, Jeffrey, I'll tell you the truth. I am so depressed at the thinking that we have the most incompetent, corrupt administration in history, and the best the Republicans can come up with is this marshmallow.
It's sad, but he's the first politician that I've heard since...
Yeah, of course he says whatever people want to hear. How do you feel about him supporting the fraud of global warming with Nancy Pelosi?
He apologized for that last night.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry about World War II. I get it. I'm sorry I plunged us into Iraq. Sorry about that.
Not a Republican, Doctor. I'm not a Republican.
I know. Look, I'm not. I know you're a Republican. That's your problem. You need to be an independent. But okay, look, to each his own. I'm not going to get mad at you. The main thing is that you you're listening, you're calling, you're thinking. That's all that matters. But you live in St. Petersburg, which is rated the saddest city in America. Why is that?
No, it's one of the greatest cities in the United States. They're using the wrong data. Doctor, you come down here.
Wait, I didn't use the data. It's a study that was done by somebody, and they said that the rate of the incidence of suicide and the amount of use of antidepressants ranks your city as the number one unhappy city.
It is true that every two or three weeks, someone jumps off the Skyway Bridge. That is true.
Oh, come on.
But I think it's because they like the scenery.
What is in St. Petersburg that drew you there other than sunshine?
Well, I came here after being in York for 10 years because this is where my father was. And in his side of the family, they died young. And when I was raising my children, he was always on the other side of the country, the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be near him in his final years. I came here in 1999.
He's still living?
Five.
Is he still living?
Yes, sir. He turned 87 in
August. Oh, God. Well, that was a smart move. But isn't St. Petersburg known for something other than sunshine?
Yeah, we got the Tampa Bay Rays.
The who? The Tampa Bay Rays?
You know, the guys that run around in pajama tops that you don't like. But
I'm not a sports fan. I don't even know who they are. What do they do?
Listen to me, doctor. I believe in baseball diplomacy. I've heard you talk about the pajama wearing sports figures for years. But I spent 10 years in Europe building adult baseball teams, negotiating with administrators.
Oh, so you're a sports personality.
Sir?
You're a sports guy. So let me ask you something. On Sunday, I understand through a family member who's going to the game that the Oakland Raiders are going to play against the Miami something in football. Is that correct?
I don't pay attention to any of the sports.
Wait, you just said you're a sports guy. I'm in a sweat already. I'm in a cold sweat. I can't even give him a book. My eyes became blurry, and I broke out in a sweat from that call. You know, there's only so much you can take. I mean, I'm in a cold sweat from the head to toe. I need to change my shirt after this break. My mind is so fogged from what Kane has done. It's too many women already. I'm sorry. And the way he's parsing it, I gave him money. I didn't mean to give him money. I think I gave him money. I'm not exactly certain. But now that it came out that it's 100% true because they saw the check with my signature on it, I'm pretty certain I did give her money, but it had nothing to do with sexual favors. The reason I gave her money is because she was down in her luck, and I help a lot of people with money. And so, therefore, if you need money, call Herman Cain, 1-800-HERMAN, and I will send you a check because I send lots of people money because I'm a pastor in a church, and we got to help people. And believe me, there's no truth to no matter how many women they can bring. It's not true. I am not this kind of guy. In fact, I haven't seen my wife in a few years, but this Friday, we're going to get together, and we're going to pray on the issue of whether Jesus can save us from this disgrace put upon us by the evil Democrats. And believe me, 999, no matter how you multiply them, will not add up to the number of women I've been with. Okay, I'll be back.
999.
I have no idea who it is, but I just happen to know that the reason that I was trying to help her as a friend financially, mm-hmm. because she was in some deep financial mm-hmm. problems about to not even be able to pay her rent. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who's behind it, mm-hmm. but at this point, but we are going to try to figure out as much as we can because this is a direct.
Give Cain the cane. That's all. Take him from stage right. Give Cain the cane. That's it. He's talking too much. You know, methinks thou dost protesteth too much or whatever. I'm so depressed from this. I believed in the guy. You know, what does it say about me that I was fooled by Herman Cain? Does that make me naive or what? Or I wanted to believe in him? It's frightening to think that this is true. Now, should that disqualify him is another story. So 999 adds up to 729. I mean, 9 times 9 times 9. I don't think he was trying to signal the number of women he's been with in his life when he said 999. I mean, that would be boasting. It would be a little too much for us to believe. But the thing is, should that disqualify a man? Maybe he has a biblical lust for life that he has no way to express. And perhaps the presidency is the place for the man. After all, that's the place where all the rascals go. Okay, look, there's nothing more we could say about it. It's over with. Now, look who we're left with. Take a look. Look what's left here on the ticket. You got the golf club Republican, and then you got the used marshmallow. That's the choice. It's unbelievable to me. That's the best they could do. Saddest city in America, St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg, Florida. Oh, Miami. Dominic, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Michael, I just want to tell you why so many people are on antidepressants down here. I'm actually a physician. It's because of anxiety, not because of they're depressed.
Right.
This is one of, they put it, it's unbelievable.
But wait, Dominic, you're the doctor, not me, but we do know there's a difference between anxiety and depression. So why would they take antidepressants if they're anxious?
They feel that the SSRIs are actually reducing some of the anxiety that they have. I don't necessarily agree with
that. But what are they anxious about? These are you're representing the Cuban, the elderly Cuban community, I understand?
I'm a physician for them. I've never seen the amount of people on antidepressants and anti-anxiolytics as I've seen here. It was unbelievable.
What, in Miami?
In Miami, yes. Almost every, I would say about 85 to 90% are on something.
Well, first of all, it's free, and they like free. They came from a communist country. They came here, and everything the communists promised them, they didn't deliver. They get here for free, so they take it. It's the same with the Russians, by the way, who came here. Everything the Russians were promised by the communists that they never got, they came here and they got. The same with the Chinese who come here. Same exact thing. If it's free, they take it. You ever go to a restaurant where they have candies on the way out, you know, like little mints? You ever notice people are like children, they'll take them because they're free?
Always.
Dominic, I've noticed, even, you know, they're junk, they're just sugar. What are they? Sugar wafers. I don't eat that stuff. But I've noticed, to a person, and it's the cheaper they are, the more they'll dip the hand into that thing of wafers. It's the same with medication, and that's one of the reasons that the country needs a renovation with the medical system. Why should there be so much free medication?
I don't know why they give it away, but they also have another reason. They're worried about communism.
You mean the Cubans?
Yeah, they've lived under it. They know.
Yes, I understand, Dominic, but if they dull themselves, doesn't it make it easier for the communists like Debbie Wasserman Schultz Stalin to get away with what she's getting away with? Don't we need a vigorous, intelligent, awake community instead of someone put to sleep by the drug meisters?
Absolutely.
Of course we do. What good is it going to do?
Savage.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me, we can't get fooled again.
That the whole thing? That was the former president to see the state the country was in. He couldn't even remember the limerick, but... I mean, thank God this guy at least uses a teleprompter where he can remember a joke. I mean, which way do you want? A guy who couldn't remember a joke and didn't use a teleprompter? Or a guy who uses a teleprompter and doesn't even tell jokes? How does this country run? How in the world does this country run? Does it run anymore? Kane says wife didn't know about friendship, financial assistance, the ginger white. That's the end of it. It's the end of it for me. In other words... You could say they made up the thing about the women, right, up to that, sir. But now here's Kane himself saying that he repeatedly gave Ginger White, which is an interesting, by the way, you know, like life imitating art. Ginger White, excuse me. He gave her money to help her with month-to-month bills and expenses without telling his wife. Now, I want to ask you something. If you're a married woman and your husband is an upstanding American citizen, a Republican, and a church pastor, and you find out that he gave a woman money for month-to-month bills and expenses and he didn't tell you, what would you assume about your husband? Tell me. Come on, let's be real here. How in the world? He did it because he's a kind man? Kane said that in about 70 text messages she sent him in 1 month, White was asking for financial assistance. She was out of work and had trouble paying her bills, and I had known her as a friend. So I'm exhausted from this. He says, I'm a soft-hearted person. I'm actually exhausted from this. I'm drained. Do you know that I'm actually drained from the election? How many years ahead of it is now till it goes? It seems like it's been going on since 1914. This is like the guns of August. How long has this been going on, this election? I'm exhausted. Everyone's dropping out except Obama. No one's running against them. They're very smart, the Democrats. You know, if I were to set the system up with me, he'd have to be on the debate stage as well. In other words, every time there's a Republican debate, he'd have to be up there with him, like one of the guys next to Rick Santorum or whoever's Bonnie Frank. Who's running now as a Republican? Has Bonnie Frank yet shifted sides? No, I expect any day to wake up and Bonnie Frank will be a Republican running for the presidency. I don't know what to make of it anymore. It's like a pastiche of insanity. All right, so all we can do is just watch the world go by. Eviction paper served on Kane accuser for $7,500 back rent. All right, let's say she's a grifter. Let's say she's a grifter, right? Oh, this is Sharon Bialik, the human doe. Oh, she got evicted. That last one who claimed that he pushed his head to her head in them, that she was in a car with Herman Cain when he pushed her head and... The car lurched to the left when all of a sudden her head was in the area. She was by Kane in the car while they were driving along. She once worked for the national restaurant chain. And she went for a ride with him. And the next thing you knew, her head... And the next thing, the head lurched and hit a bump. And the head was in. She don't know how. And he claims it was a bump in the road. So that's the one who got knocked out of the court paper. Partial records of the House of Representatives vote on the immigrant. Did you hear what they did with immigration while you slept? We're arguing over nothing. I almost fainted when I saw this story. This has been one of the worst radio days of my life. Between Newt Gingrich surging and Debbie Wasserman Schultz having a new hairdo and the Muslim Brotherhood coming to the ascendancy in Egypt because I told you it would. And then I read a visa bill was passed in the House by a vote of 389-15. To allow more Mexicans to make the U.S. a home. And I look at which Republicans voted for it. I almost threw up. Rohrabacher and Culberson joined the Democrats. Loretta Sanchez, Wasserman Schultz, Maxine Waters, Henry Nostrelman, and Pelosi. I swear to you, Culberson, one of my favorite guys, joined along with Nadler, Jackson Lee, Pelosi, Rangel, and Sanchez, and Wasserman Schultz, Stalin, and Maxine Waters, and Nostrelman, to make sure that more Mexicans can make the U.S. a home. I don't know whether it's on purpose or what's going on here. Well, look, all I can do as a talk show is to try to sort through all of this and say that it's very depressing out there. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the day. I don't know. Maybe it's yesterday's trip to Miami. The long ride down, the long ride back. I never saw people drive like they do here my entire life. I don't know how this goes on. You drive on an interstate here in Florida, like from Miami north. You got morons driving 120 miles an hour, cutting off within an inch of your bumper and swerving into the next lane. Where's the Florida Highway Patrol? I'm sorry. They're being arrested by Miami police. Now that's where they are, right? I forgot. Now, that's what's going on. It is like a cowboy scene out here. It really is. But Miami's a beautiful city unto itself in its own way. I don't know why they call it one of the most depressing cities. I think what it is, if you add up the incidence of suicide and the amount of antidepressants prescribed, because it's a very large aging population. It's like the elephant's burial grounds. They come out either on Medicare. It's free, right? And the doctor mill. You want the present, we got to enter the present. What else? You got a prostate trouble? Here, take a prostate pill. Your lower back hurts? Here, take a back pill. Carter's big pill. Carter's big back pill. What else you need? 6-8 pills? Because the pharmaceutical companies want more drugs prescribed. The doctors don't care. They're quacks. They get paid to do it. The government loves it because it builds up the amount of taxes they can steal from us. So it's not that they're really using them. I mean, maybe they're flushing. Or maybe they're taking him back to Flushing, New York, and selling him on the street outside junior high schools. They vote in several different cities, most of the folks down here. The New Yorkers who live in the southern Florida area. They vote in two or three places in every election. Remember I did that thing many years ago? I was down here during the election. I forget what year, 1980? No, I wasn't even radio. 2000, remember? I did a Beowulf. You got to dig that up for my new listeners. As my show surges, I've got to remember there's all sorts of new listeners who never heard me. And they have to hear the genius that they've missed over these years. It's been going on since 1994. But in 2000, I was in Florida during the election. Wasn't Gore running against somebody? I forget who. Carter's little liver. And it was Gore versus whatever, Bush, right? And that, oh, that's right. That's where there was the big thing with the Cuban guys with the white shirts threatened to beat up the lawyers from NYU who were rigging the vote. Remember that when they ran out of the booths? All of the boys from NYU got terrified that the Cuban guys in white shirts showed up. They got so scared, they got on a short line bus and ran right back to the Bronx. And that's of course, that's how Bush won. It was one gang fighting the other. So I wrote a poem called Can of Worms, but I can't believe what's going on down here now. The amount of fraud in Florida, Medicare fraud. You read about it every day, these doctors. They pour in from Queens, Brooklyn, and many of them went to like medical school in Guadalajara. You know the kind of doctor? You know that kind of doctor? We had a kid in the neighborhood who couldn't go to regular medical school. All right, so look, he wanted very badly to be a doctor. So where'd he go to school? Guadalajara, Mexico. You know how good the doctors are in Mexico. I mean, this is top of the line. If you can't get into Harvard Medical School or Stanford or, you know, Columbia, what you do is the next best thing is you go to Guadalajara Medical School. And then you get a medical degree and you come back and you probably schmear someone and you become a... What? So he comes back, this kid. He was like the Schmendrick of the neighborhood, a fat schlub. But I got to hand it to him. He wanted to be a doctor and nothing could deter him. So he went to Mexico. He got a medical degree. He got a license somehow and became a plastic surgeon. He retired many years ago. I have no how many people he may have butchered who put a nose on their behind. I have no idea what he did. You know the kind of plastic surgeon he must have been. If you went in to have your eyes lifted, you probably wound up with your nose on the top of your forehead. But nevertheless, he had a career from the Guadalajara Institute. But this is what I'm saying. This is the kind of doctors that you find down here in Florida, in South Florida, by and large. Which is why I don't want to ever get sick when I'm down here. God forbid. There's no, I don't see, one thing I don't see down here. You know what I want to talk about for 1 second now that my mind is working again? My mind is running now on about two cylinders. I have a V16 engine in my head. Right now I'm running on like two cylinders. Something's wrong. I know something broke down here in Florida. Maybe a tsetse fly bit me or something. I don't know what's wrong. My brain is not functioning. It's not firing. I don't know what's wrong. Nothing particular happened. It couldn't have been just the ride down. Maybe it was bad fish. It could have been the fish that I had last night wasn't good. Oh, here's another thing. It's like someone, we had dinner cooked in the house, and we were all eating like the top of the line. And then we found out afterwards that the green beans came from Whole Foods, and the package, if you looked at it, came from China. Half the food that we ate, although it came from Whole Foods, was from China. The origin was China. It just shows you. You know, how do we know how much poison is in our system from this the world global economy, the garbage that you put in your mouth. You know what you get in a restaurant? Like tonight, when this show is over, for example, I'm on the East Coast now, which is a freak out for me. Because normally on the West Coast, I start at 3, I'm, you know, over at 6. Here I start at 6, I'm over at 9. So I have to immediately jump in a car and race to a restaurant. Almost nobody is open after 9:30 that I want to go to. I like simple restaurants. Already everyone's asleep. So I get to the Chinese restaurant tonight when they're about to close. What do you think they're going to give me? The freshest shrimp in the bottle? The freshest shrimp, rather, in the barrel? But I'm looking forward to a Hunan restaurant I'm going to go to down here that my mother used to go to. God rest her soul. You know what I'm saying? She loved it. I didn't know. This is a funny thing to find out. It may be genetic, and I hope it is. Because she lived to 88, God bless her. Not very good the last few years. But the dad, he died young. So I hope I got more of her genes. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, I'm a Hunan food lover. And in the San Francisco area, we happen to be blessed with a very large Chinatown. And I'm a big fan of Chinese food, even though I complain about it. Because I come out, my lips are sticking together. It's like someone put crazy glue on my lip. I start to feel like Barney Frank when I walk out of a Chinese restaurant in San Francisco, if it's a bad one. I start to feel like, has anybody got some kind of glue remover? Because I just had a egg foo young in San Francisco. I mean, my lips don't seem to separate. I don't understand. But that's how it is. But if you go to a good one, they don't stick. So I go to a good one, which doesn't have glue in the broth. It's a Hunan food. Hunan. So the Hunan is very good. So what do I know? Years later, as time goes by, in all the years I communicated with my lovely mother about Chinese and Italian food, never once did she mention her favorite restaurant was a Hunan restaurant in this area. So in deference to her, after she passed away when I came down here, I started to go to her restaurant to try to sit in the booth she sat in. I come down here once or twice a year, and I go to that restaurant. I know the food stinks. Sucks on dry ice. The worst. The worst. But because she went there, because it's somewhat familial, and most of the customers are either 85 in the 85 to 95 bracket, the men look like they're from the moon, like moon people. They're like short. They're like 5'1". They all shrivel up, but they're still eating that stuff. And what I love, what's most beautiful about it is they're still couples in their 90s together. I don't know how that works. They didn't kill each other with a stroke or a heart attack from the way they talk to each other either. You ever get next to one of them behind the locks line next door at the deli, you could get killed altogether. I don't care how small they are. But it's kind of cute to see older people in their late 80s or 90s who are still couples in a disposable society where guys throw girls away and girls throw guys away. There's something beautiful. And not only that, that they have a genetic capacity to eat this bad Chinese food and not get a coronary occlusion, unless there's something they're taking here that I don't know about yet, some kind of fish special trick fish oil from Palm Beach. I don't really know what it is. Nevertheless, that's where I'm going to go to eat tonight with about 2 minutes to spare by the time I get there. And my lips will stick together, and I shall sleep like a baby. I'll be right back.
Savage. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Listen, I know I'm goofing around today, but, you know, when I joke around like this, it's because I'm reaching a point of no return in my own head. And it's agitating. When you see a guy like Newt Gingrich, who was really fundamentally a has-been, being elevated by the establishment to this level, and then you see Kane with all this women's stuff, and it looks like it's true because he paid the... All you can do at this point is take a Dali-esque, Salvador Dali, Dali-esque view of the political landscape and start throwing the things together, where I start saying crazy things because it becomes crazy and funny. It's only my own humor that... it's my black humor, frankly. All right, then report me now to a group. Black humor. I have to eliminate that now. Syracuse, New York. Dawn, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that times are tough, news is dreadful, and I really appreciate that you keep a sense of humor. And tonight you have me laughing. I have an hour commute, and I've been laughing the whole time.
Well, thank you. No, truthfully, you people have to remember, I'm glad you said it, because, you know, AM radio is fundamentally an entertainment medium. Talk radio is an offshoot of entertainment, originally, Dawn. Now, it's true that we have to make sense and we have to be, you know, knowledgeable about what we're speaking about, blah, blah, blah. But if we can't entertain you, you're not going to listen to all of this, right?
That's right. And I got to tell you, I love you do your rambling and you kind of change your voice and you're kind of grumbling.
That's yeah.
Like going from what, same topic, but kind of skipping around like you just did with Harmon Cain. I love that.
Did you like the Chinese restaurant story that I told you about my mother and the food?
I love that, but you know what? I have another restaurant story here that I love. It was months ago, but it was, you talked about when you were in school and you went to a friend's restaurant and your friend's dad owned the restaurant and you ate a steak and it was the first rare steak that you ever had.
Oh, I remember, yes. That was a funny story, right. My friend had a father who owned a bar, an upscale, you know, bar in Manhattan, you know, was completely out of the level of our socioeconomic level, right? So one day during the day, the mother took us to Manhattan and we went into the father's restaurant. It was closed, but the cook made a steak for us. I bit into it. I didn't even know what steak was supposed to taste like. It was so soft. Because prior to that, everything that was given to me that was called a steak tasted like a catcher's mitt.
That's why it's so funny. I mean, I was in the same boat. I thought I was a vegetarian until I was 20 and had a good steak.
No, it was the most delicious steak I had ever eaten in my life. They had pre-cut it for us, you know, like it was so fancy. Who knew that this kind of food existed? Dawn, you know, because you're so good-natured, I'm sending you a special Christmas present called Abuse of Power. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to New York City, the heart of the everything, WOR Bob. Thank you for calling on this dark night. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I don't understand why everyone's so hung up on, you know, Herman Cain's personal life. What he does is what he does.
Well, yes, if it was one woman, let's say. But now, I mean, you know, come on, man. Starting to get, you know, almost like a comedy.
It's true, but, you know, at the end of the day, a president is an employee of the American people.
999? I mean, if you multiply it as 729, I hope he's not referring to the number of women he's been with.
So what's the difference? So for example, I'm a religious man. I don't approve of, you know, homosexual behavior. But when I hire a plumber, I don't really know what he does in his bedroom. It's not my business.
Well, now that's a bad choice of a metaphor to a homosexual plumber, but let's not go into that. I would say that if you hire a plumber, he shouldn't be a Democrat. But the issue is, yes, of course, a person's sexuality is their own business. I hear what you're saying. However, when you're running for office, if you're caught in one lie after another, whatever the scandal may be, you lose your credibility for the voter, don't you?
You do, but you know what he should have said? You know what? What might have happened,
But I don't even want to speculate, because right now I think the best thing he could do, since he admitted he gave this woman money and didn't tell his wife, this to me is the last straw for me. Hey, Bob, as cynical as I think I am, he fooled me. You hear me?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, he shouldn't have lied to begin with.
No, I'm sorry. There's a certain thing, no more. Sorry. Indiana Sid, welcome. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Sid, what's on your mind?
Well, Mike, I was driving home today, and you had me rolling. I was laughing so hard, I look in my rearview mirror, the blue lights are on. The cop comes to my window, I'm still laughing. He doesn't want to hear it. I tried to explain, but I'm crying, Mike.
But wait, I know I was funny because I get into one of my totally... When I get into a black mood, only my insane Dali-esque view of the world can save me. But were you laughing at the restaurant riff?
Yes.
The parents with the mouth sticking together, that whole thing?
Been there, done it. Hey,
you know what, Sid? It was worth the ticket. It's a shame the cop doesn't have a sense of humor. Sid, I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power. If you only told the cop you're listening to my show, it would have been a gamble. But 90% of the cops in America would love you for that. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We've been having a lot of fun here because the news is so depressing that I had to go off, you know, off the ranch, so to speak, and go into a Dali-esque view of the political landscape, and people call me up screaming, saying, thank you, thank you. And you know what? It's a funny thing. What just came to me at the end of the hour, my friend Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily sent me a report that came out minutes ago, and here it is. You're not going to believe it. I'm going to read it to you cold. You ready? Editor's note, Michael Savage remains solidly number two and dominates the streaming universe with the fastest growing talk show on the internet. Double digit growth back-to-back months. Now, I got to tell you something. There's not a lot of things in life that matter to me much anymore, but this is one of the things that matters to me anymore. So number one is Rush, but remember, he's on in every big station in the country. He is at a 16.8 share of the streaming universe. And he only went up in November plus 1%, 1.6%. Michael Savage is the second with a 10.8 share. My trend is up 18.6%. The number three is Glenn Beck, only up 1%. Some of my friends are down, so I'm not going to read their names. Some of my competitors are down, so I will read their names. The man who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia, Mark Levinsky, is down 17% because this guy never belonged on radio to begin with. So who would listen to him? Dennis Miller, down 10%. I don't know what he has, why anyone would listen to him. I have no idea. Probably a nice guy, but there's nothing there. Some of the other names you never heard of. You never heard of some. I'm going down the list. I don't want to get nasty because there's such good news. There's no point in being competitive at a certain point, right? The most overrated person in the history of radio is Imus. No share at all, a 0.7 share, down 7%. They gave him this guy made so much money on a deal from the guy who used to run ABC. It's beyond comprehension how this was done. No one listens to this show anymore. And yet the schmuck politicians go on this idiot show like he's still a factor. He was never a factor. No factor there. A 0.8 share, a 0.9, what's his share? A 0.7 share. And the moron politicians think, oh, yeah, he's really something. Yeah, he's really something. If you're Rudy Giuliani, you think that Imus is somebody important in talk radio. And the rest I'm not going to talk about. I just want to say thank you for listening on the internet. Michael Savage is the dominator in the streaming universe with the fastest growing talk show on the internet. Double-digit growth back-to-back. It's a nice thing. Rush occupies the summit. Beck and Hannity level off. I don't want to read any other names. Some of them I don't really like very much. Some I do. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm in competition with myself at the end of the day. So here we are. Here we are. And then I was telling stories. Telling some stories, you know. And the main thing that's on my mind is where to eat Chinese food tonight. That's about all I can think of is like where. At the end of the day, I'm becoming like my mother as time goes on. I'm afraid. What if I end up like... I told you the story. And I have to tell it to you again because every time I come down to Florida, I am reminded of all of those years that she lived down here. She had emigrated from, relocated, as they all do, the elephant's burial ground. They leave New York. She's a wonderful person. I mean, after my father died in 1970, she was a widow for God knows how many years. It was like 30 years. So she lived alone in a little attached house. Luckily, my father was a hardworking man, and the house was paid for. She didn't have to work, never lived high, but never suffered for money, and had a little bit here, a little bit there. And so she had a house. Out of the blue, she sold a house on her own. I remember to this day, I heard she sold it to Chinese people who were moving into the neighborhood. That's how it works. One ethnic group moves in, the other ethnic group moves out. It's always the same. Chinese people bought it, and she sold it, and she moves down here. And all the friends were down here. This is something I envy. First of all, I have no friends. Let's start with that. My generation, there's no such thing as friends. That's a number one. There's only use. So in other words, how can you move together with a group and there's no friends? But I know it was not limited to my mother's ethnic group either, because this is a strange phenomenon. Down here in Florida, there were and there are ethnic groups that have moved, in her generation, all moved together, the whole neighborhood. Let's say that I heard about Jamaicans, black Jamaican people from Jamaica in the islands, not Jamaica, Queens. From Jamaica. In other words, Caribbean people who had lived in Queens, New York, when they got older, the entire community moved to a certain area of Florida together. Italians, they all moved to a certain area. And it's admirable. It's beyond belief. But came my turn, there's nowhere to move. Everywhere I go, someone's an enemy. So what's the point? No, that's not true. It's that there's no cohesiveness. The society broke up after my parents' generation. Who knows why? There's a thousand reasons. Don't fill in the blank with the word liberal, okay? I don't want to hear it. Society atomized. It broke up. But nevertheless, so she moves down here, and she's in a community with people who speak her language. She spoke English only, but when I say speak her language, in other words, the way she looked at the world. And so therefore, the foods that she liked in New York, she could still get down here. All of the worst food in history. It buried all of the men. I think it was designed to kill the men. I'm not exactly sure, but if I were to... been an evil scientist and someone came to me and said, look, I want you to design a diet to kill the men and keep the women alive. They could not have invented a better food than corned beef, pastrami. Foods like that were designed to destroy men's arteries. There's no other explanation for those kinds of meats. And, you know, like tongue. Who eats a tongue like unless you're in New Guinea and you're starving to death and you kill the boar, you eat everything, you eat the tusks. You grind up the tusks to get like a calcium powder out of it. The organ meats that they ate, my God, it was frightening. Some ethnic groups still eat those. And I find here's the thing I'm trying to get at, is that I'm now eating organ meats and I know they're bad for me. It's shocking. All the foods I avoided for 30 years, which is why I'm still living. Remember, I wrote books on health. I was taking antioxidants in 1970, writing about antioxidants in 1972. when I was laughed at by the medical establishment. Everything I said not to do, I'm doing now all of a sudden. Not everything. I mean, it's blending now. I'm falling. I'm reverting. I'm reverting. Like, I'm going to give you an example. Like last night, what happened to me? I've been eating so badly. My ankles hurt. My wrists hurt. I can hardly move my hands in the morning. It's all food related. I know, for example, a dairy tricks out my joints where they hurt. I found this out years ago. I wrote about it and I forgot my own medicine. Then when I remembered it, my joints were perfect, right? Last night, I went to a relative's house. How could I resist? When he opened up, the cook was cooking as a wonderful chef, but I like to hang around with the chef. So when the chef's cooking, I'm in the refrigerator talking to him, drinking a beer. I open up the cheese drawer, and I don't eat cheese. It was so beautiful. So which cheese did I pick? The absolute worst cheese in the world for me, Brie. So I said to myself, I know I'm going to have pains in my... And I opened the Brie, and I cut off a couple of pie pieces. And I said to myself, like a joke, you know how you joke to yourself? I said, if I'm going to do this once a year, I'll do it tonight. The legs, it'll take a few days to run it out of my... You know, the kidneys have to metabolize it out. I have to get rid of this poison in my body. And then again, I'll do it again tonight. I won't have Brie. I'll go to some horrible Chinese restaurant down. I can't wait to get back to San Francisco. The people are mean. Everybody's horrible and miserable. It looks like Poland in the 1950s. Certain areas of San Francisco are so depressing. I've never seen anything like it. Everyone dresses dirty. The streets are like gray. There's an area I go to out in the Richmond district where the Chinese restaurants are, again, Chinese. I'm obsessed. I can't stand in the neighborhood. Because there's dirt in the streets, there's garbage, the streets are broken, and there's a full of Russian emigres moved out there. But I don't mean upscale Russians. We're talking about Russians that when you look at them, they look like they're still in like St. in Petersburg, Russia, in the 1947 when there's a salami hanging in the window. But they're all doing very well here. Free Medicare, Medicaid, the environment, every minute and another doctor. I don't know what's wrong. The medication they send back to Zubrinsky. And they sell it on Zubrinsky Point. And they're mean. They're angry at everybody. They never had it so good. But everybody they look at with such hatred, it's frightening. They look at you like you're a KGB agent. You're about to, you know, bust them for busting the Medicare system. It's amazing. You look at the Russians in the Richmond District. If your face crosses their face, they all look at you like you're a KGB agent. And you're on to the fact that they're scamming America. They've been here 30 years, some of them. But they're all afraid of getting arrested any second because they know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to get home, though, because at least the Chinese food is good. Now it's time for me to read an ad from one of my important advertisers, if I can find this, because they are an important advertiser for two reasons, because soon I'm going to need them. Because this is the legacy stuff that I've been telling you about, because I told you, as you get older, it's not only Chinese food that you need. You need to focus on the legacy that you are going to leave your children. Why? Why do you focus on your legacy? Because if you got some kind of wisdom and you want to pass it on, and you're blessed with kids and grandkids, right? But what if you have a little hearing loss? Okay, you could lose this legacy. Who's going to listen to you anyhow? Leaving that legacy requires effective two-way communication, and there is a medical breakthrough for those with hearing loss, and it is called the Esteem Hearing Implant, right? And this is a revolutionary solution that is 100% invisible. So you can keep up your active lifestyle. The Esteem Hearing Implant delivers a natural improvement to your hearing, and it's got a natural clarity to the sound. And if you want to learn about this new breakthrough and give your children a legacy they will cherish for a lifetime, and why don't you call 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. You got it? That's 800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com for a list of side effects and benefits associated with Esteem. Visit envoymedical.com. I shall return. Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. It's a crazy day out there with the Kane woman thing and the Newt Gingrich surge, which is obviously a part of the, you know, one-party system we have, and Romney being invisible. It's astounding. People are very agitated, especially since we are living through the most corrupt administration in American history, and they're getting away with it precisely because of the sand in our eyes. Let's put it to you that way. Tampa, Florida. Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I've been listening to you for years. I've always wondered why people call you and say that you're great and all of this and that. today you have made me a believer. You were right on point about the Muslim Brotherhood, and I said to myself, he did say that. Then you started talking about Florida, the drivers, the steel mills, the doctors. My wife is a nurse, and we moved here from Boston.
Yep.
She tells me, if I ever get sick, we're going back to Boston because the medical industry here is so bad.
It is bad, it's corrupt, and it's filled with some of the worst doctors in America.
Michael, you are a genius. I just wanted to tell you
that.
Well,
not a genius. You know, here's what it is. What is a genius? It's someone who actually thinks about something and then applies logic to it, and, you know, put some facts into the mix and then apply logic. You come up with the right conclusion, David.
Yeah, but the fact that you are able to put two things together and not focus on one thing only, I think you weigh both sides of an issue. You are truly...
Well, okay, what you're saying is that I can goof around about Chinese food and be directly attacking the fact that I was right about the Muslim Brotherhood taking over in Egypt and across the Arab Crescent. How come I could figure that out and Obama couldn't, or Hillary Clinton couldn't, or did they? Did they actually... You want to really get frightened? Then ask yourself, did Hillary Clinton and Obama and Jimmy Carter, with Soros' money, did they want the Islamists to win in the Arab Crescent? And if they did, then you've got a bigger problem than if they didn't.
That's exactly right. And you're making people think outside of the box. It's not about a Republican or a Democrat thing. It's about us being Americans and being taken advantage of.
I'm very worried that we have a Hillary Clinton who, after they executed Gaddafi, she went around boasting, saying, "We came, we saw, he died." Could you imagine if a Republican white male said a thing like that after executing a world leader? I don't care how bad he was. The man deserved a trial. He was begging for his life. Either we are living in a world where law prevails, or we're living in a world of absolute, and I hate to use the word, barbarism, but that to me appears to be what was the operational theme that was used by the United States government under this administration to kill Gaddafi. And the reason they killed Gaddafi, let's just finish this up, is because he had something on this government that they didn't want to get out in a trial. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree. But listen, I don't want to get serious. You had me on laughing while I was driving, and it was the best laugh I've had in probably this whole year.
But wait, again, is it all about the restaurants or about the drivers?
No, it was everything about Florida. You were right on point. The way people drive here is terrible.
No, I've never seen anything like it. The funniest line was, where was the Florida Highway Patrol? I said, oh, wait, excuse me, they're being arrested by the Miami Beach Police.
That was great.
Yeah, because I know the scandal that went on down here, you know. All right, my friend, thanks for calling. I appreciate you enjoying yourself. That's all. Let's move on. What's left up there? Laura on the Internet. That's like a radio station. Laura on the Internet. Welcome to the Savage. You're listening on which Internet? What station Internet?
Savage. I have to streamline you in from WTMT. I think it's out of D.C. I'm just moving from a different town. I had a breakdown. I'm moving. I turn my radio on. It's 5 o'clock. I'm like, where's Dr. Savage to give me peace of mind? The world was going crazy. I had no news. And then finally I broke down and emailed your producer, and he told me to go to Radio Tuna, and this is where you are, and I'm so happy every day.
Well, you see, the fact of the matter is that you can't keep the truth down. That's all there is to it. People are finding me wherever I am, and what are you calling about primarily, Laura?
I wanted to say thank you, because 2.5 years ago you sent me a book, Healing Children Naturally, and at the time I had 6-month-old premature twins. I had them when I was 40. They were really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just 3, and I've used your book. And
oh, isn't that beautiful?
Thank you.
That means more to me than you can imagine. I wrote that book in 1980 when I was heavily into the whole field of nutrition. My heart and soul went into that book, and it's a great collected, it's a collected treasury of wisdom for healing children through diets and through vitamins. What did you did you use diet and vitamins? What do you use?
I made their own baby food. I mashed up sweet potatoes. They love your crumbly cornbread.
Oh, so you use the recipes that I got there? No, that's amazing. I've never pushed that book. That book should be a 10 million copy book. It's so good. Laura, thank you very much. That means a lot to me because the children are so precious and so vulnerable. And what's frightening to me is how much wisdom has been lost. You talk about wisdom. You know, I don't want to now start sound preachy. I can do that pretty good, too. I don't want to get into it. But I remember when I was early on in the field of health and nutrition, I had heroes I looked up to, Linus Pauling, Dr. Abe Hoffer. They were gods to me. They were literal gods. Then they died, they passed on, and it's like all their knowledge went with them. Because the forces of advertising and the forces of pharmaceuticals are so powerful, in cahoots with the American Medical Association and the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association, that all of their wisdom seems to have been thrown out the window. But it doesn't mean they were wrong. Thank God I'm still alive, and thank God some of my early nutrition books are still alive, because once they're gone, you know what you're going to have? Prozac City and sugar plum fairy cakes for your children, because that's what they like to do, is keep you all stupid and sick.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So what's on my website? Savage Nation, fastest growing talk show on the internet. You know, don't underestimate that. That's a big story for two reasons. Okay, why? Why is it a big story? Because A, I'm functioning alone. I virtually have no other media support, where all the other people in the media support each other. It's a big story. So, is it only about me? No. Well, who else is it about? Why is it the fact that an independent voice like mine is so powerful in the media and literally blackballed by everybody in the media? What does that tell you about the political landscape of America? It could tell you volumes about what's going on in the country, and it should. It tells you that independence is not dead in America. It tells you that the free thinker is not dead in America. It tells you that logic is not dead in America. It tells you that courage is not dead in America. It tells you that just the fortitude of a man alone, literally working alone, is not over in America. It shows you that individualism is not dead in America. It shows you anything you want it to show you. Most importantly, it shows you that America is fed up to their eyeballs with the Democrat-Republican scam. That's what it really shows you. That's all. And what are we going to do about it? Well, I don't have an answer for you. The third party is out of the question, but we're going to get that in May. You wait and see what comes in April or May. You wait and you'll see what comes out of the woodwork. You're going to see the biggest scam in your life. You're going to have another shock hit you in April or May when someone or some people announce their candidacy in order to destroy Romney if he should be surging at all. And because if it's Romney versus Obama on the stage, it's going to be a tough fight for Romney because Romney is such a lackluster candidate. That's number one. But if they bring in a third-party candidate who'll suck off 10, 12, 15% of the vote, that's the end of the road, and we have Obama again, which is what they want. And that's very, very sad. That's all I can tell you. Las Vegas, Doug, welcome to the Savage Nation. If I could see the numbers, I can't even see the number you are. You're number six. Hey, Doug, welcome from Las Vegas. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it's pretty sad that after all this, this is what the Republicans come up with. Newt Gingrich and his cardboard wife. And apparently he's bought out Fox News because they serve as an infomercial for his president.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Fox News is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican Party, as far as I can tell. And they have been for a long time. All you've got to do is look at Karl Rove, and you'll know who Fox News is.
Well, and they specifically are apparently backing Gingrich because he's on one of the nightly shows getting the easiest questions asked, and they never say anything about his failures as a speaker.
No, of course not. The fix is in, of course. Look, it's the best thing we have is a free press, and unfortunately we're losing it. And the worst scam is that we think we have a conservative outlet, and we don't. Some of their work is superb, but it's not from the mainstream hosts on that station, unfortunately. Some of the reporters do an amazing job on Fox. But yes, I agree with you. They're throwing Gingrich as much publicity as they can do for reasons only Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch can answer. And I can tell you why I think. If you want to hear my opinion?
Yeah, I would. I'd just like to say real quick, don't you think Sean Hannity looks like Gingrich's kid with a square head and that squatty body? I swear that was his child.
Well, that's a funny line, but I'll tell you what I think about Sean Hannity. The older he gets, it's like the portrait of Dorian Gray. He looks like Lou Costello. As he gets older, have you noticed he's starting to look like the comedian Lou Costello of Abbott and Costello fame?
I used to like him, but he's become so biased to the Republicans, and he just, you know, like I said, he's bought and paid for, and he's lost
his independence. You know, he is an interesting personality who never had the talent for this business, but he went very far as a fill-in for Rush Limbaugh, and he's been very lucky. He's been blessed. He was born under a lucky star. But that's neither here nor there. What's important is that they have become nothing but shills for the Republican Party, which is why people have sought out a third way, a third independent pathway. It's why an independently produced show like mine, The Savage Nation, is surging on the internet. You have to admit that younger people listen on the internet. They listen on phone apps, and they're listening to my show in droves. There's a reason for it. They also don't know who to believe in this country.
Well, unfortunately, it's come to that, and I just fear that Obama's Obama won't win. The Republicans are going to lose.
I agree. That's well put, right? Obama's just sitting still, and his numbers are going up because the Republicans are chopping each other to pieces. What more do you need to know than you have Rick Santorum running as a presidential candidate? That should have told you everything.
Yeah. Well,
and by the way, I mentioned his name because he was another favorite of Sean Hannity, incidentally.
Yeah, he never got much traction, but you can only hope that the Republicans win the House and the Senate.
Right. And God knows what they'll do with that if they win it. Take a look at what we have in the Supreme Court with the Republican majority. Take a look at what they put in. They voted Kagan in. Why would they vote Kagan in? They put in two of the most incompetent justices in American history. These people are not even competent law professors, let alone Supreme Court justices, and yet they voted for them. The way they look, I'm going to get agitated. I shouldn't do it. Abuse of power. Abuse of power. Hey, Beowulf, you know what's a good thing to do right now to wake everybody up? Can we get that piece that the kid created for me, the young man, the heavy metal guy, remember?
Grab it.
What is that called? I forget his name. He was a really good musician.
Caller Petri.
Mr. Petty? What else is on my website? Let's see. High school teacher accused of acting in porn films. Isn't that what the NEA wants? Sheriff of year accused of offering man methamphetamine for sex. The former Colorado lawman was sent to a jail named after him and apparently had a thing for methamphetamine and sex with guys that he released from prison. Okay, that really fits the bill. Muslims kill at least 45 Christians in Nigeria. Ethnic Fulanis crying Allah Akbar attacked churches, killed 45 Christians in Nigeria. But that did not get it to Hussein Obama's desk. Didn't make it to his desk. Kiss America goodbye. I hope that's not true. I hope that's not true. You still have the thing yet, or are you searching? You're groping for it? Or
just about got it.
Just found it, maybe, a few seconds. Almost, you're still going through. You have the Hunt and Peck method, the Dewey Decimal System. You're going to find the music, I guess. Remember the Dewey Decimal System when you were a kid? Look at the things that have changed in your life. You remember when that was library, going to the library to do research papers? You don't have to even get out of bed now. You could do a research paper. It's astounding. Now, that's when they arrest those kids for the SAT cheating. It's almost ludicrous when you think about it with the internet. What do they even have to cheat for? What does college have any value? You know, unless you go to I was thinking about it yesterday. College has no value whatsoever. This whole dream of the liberal arts, they'll broaden you as a person and like give you the ability to go forward in life with a much better view. Yeah, that'll help you to sit with the Occupy protesters in a cardboard box and leave fecal matter in the streets of a liberal arts degree. Look what it produced. So you have to admit that the whole concept of a liberal education is a complete failure. The only people who should go to college are those who want to go into a profession along the lines of, let's say, medicine. I would say law, but I don't consider that a profession. I consider prostitution a profession more than I do law. But medicine, let's say, or engineering, chemistry, something that has a meaning, that's a reason to go to college and study. But to sit there and study political science, I mean, you wind up like Bonnie Frank. That's about all you could wind up. Play the music. Go ahead.
Michael Savage. On the microphone, he will do damage. To all the fools, he will just ravage. His intelligence will definitely manage to take a stand, beat it up, and challenge all the crap that is wrong with the system. Turn your radio loud and listen to the voice of the man. All across, up and down the land. So just focus your concentration and be part of the Savage Nation.
Oh, he's good. Come on, this guy is good. Hey, what's his name? What? Petri dish.
Michael Savage.
He made this for me. That's great. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm having a thing. It's like December 1st already, and another year went by. It was a very hard year for me. You know, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I had a novel come out, Abuse of Power. It became a six-week bestseller on the New York Times list, which was I was worried about it because I knew I would not get on any television shows or radio, and I had no idea it would sell that well. I hoped it did, but it did, okay? So it was a good year. But I've been enmeshed in this lawsuit going on now for years, 3 years with the England and another one. It doesn't end. But you learn to, like, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. So it's been a very long year, very hard year. And I'm not getting younger. I'm getting older like everyone else on the planet. And time and gravity catches up with you. And you start to feel certain things. And basically, I'm feeling it this December. It's another dark winter, you know, like the winter of our despair. But here I am. And New Year's Eve coming up, 30 days now, hath November, 31 days, hath December, whatever. So I have a fantasy that I want to do a New Year's Eve live show. And I want to have, like, this guy, this heavy metal guy on the stage. Then I want to have that guy I love, that singer who's like a Rod Stewart imitator, Sir George. He performs out here in the Fort Lauderdale. I loved him. I saw him the other night in Delray. On the guy is amazing. What a talented guy that guy is. What fun I would have with, like, music. You know, I used to do events before the tea parties. I did Compassionate Conservative events. Thousands of people would show up. We had great times in Marin County, San Francisco. I haven't done any in years. The last event I did was in 05. Oh, my God, 6 years ago at the Chronicle Pavilion. It used to be called something else, whatever. We had 7,000 people. It was astounding. I drove my Cadillac out on the stage. I've not done another live performance. So I'm pondering doing one, but you can't do one at the last minute. And that gets down to who I am. In other words, I'm very spontaneous. I can't plan things that well. Like once I plan something, I don't want to do it. So if I were to plan it now, by the time New Year's Eve came, I wish I didn't do it. So I wound up with Teddy alone looking at like fireworks across the bay and have like a depressing drink and go to sleep. I would like to do it. I just know where to do it in the Bay Area. How could I pull it off in 30 days? It's impossible. But you'd think with this kind of radio show, right, and with the internet following I have, I should be able to find, you know, a hall and get it. But then you got to get – it's so many elements to do a show properly. You need it – it's so hard to do right. It can't be done at the last minute. You want to have 1,000 people? I could have 10,000 people. But think of the organization it would require to do. You'd love to go it. I know you would. Many of you would fly in like from St. Louis for a night like that. We all need it. We actually all need it. Don't call me saying you'll do it for me, please. I'm fantasizing. I'm thinking out loud. I wish it could be pulled off. It won't be pulled off. I will be alone with Teddy as I have been for years now. I'm missing Teddy. Could you call the dog sitter right now, Beowulf, and see if you got her on the line? Call Irene and see how Teddy's doing. I've been gone a week. I miss my dogs. I don't care where I am. It's like I'm away already. It's too long. I like the little guy sleeping in the bed upside down with his feet. Like I touch his feet and talk to him. Like I watch television. I touch his feet while I'm watching a TV show. It calms me down. It's like feedback. There's something like a degree of safety with a dog in a bed. I don't know what it's like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. It like restores the sense of wearing like pajamas with like bunnies on it. You know what I mean? I don't care what age you are. You lock the door, you bar the door, you load your guns, right? You know what I'm saying? You put on the alarm, and you put on a television show. You got the guns, you got the Rugers, you got the Minis, you got the Maxis, you got the shotguns, you got the this gun, you got the that gun, you got the, like, mines in the coming up the steps, you got a minefield, and then you're in the bedroom, and you got the dog. And he's like an innocent little 11-pound, he don't know from nothing. He knows that come 9 o'clock at night, he's supposed to lay on his back and go to sleep at my feet. In the bed. He's had enough already of having fun and running and sniffing and peeing on every bush. I don't know how a dog this size can. You walk this dog down a street, where does the liquid come from? Is there a veterinarian in the house who could explain this to me? I know he's marking his territory. He's got a trick, too, because he's little. He, like, makes sure that the pee comes out higher on the bush so they think a big dog went by. It's very funny. It's like most men. It's amazing the tricks they use. The dog is little. He's like a little guy, a little dog. But somehow he has a trick where he bends himself over sideways so far over, there's like a squirt up in the air. They think it's like a dog went by that was three times the size. It's an amazing thing, the nature. It's like looking at a lionfish or looking at a sea cucumber or a scallop even, where the scallop does to stay alive. But I missed the guy. Where? Do you got him yet? I'm ad-libbing now. All right, forget about it. We'll move on. I need an ankle transplant from the Brie, I got to tell you. My right ankle feels like a cripple job. I have to go to some kind of therapy from the brie I ate last night. Better clear out. Kane they're calling about, and now is the time to support Kane. No, not taking a Kane call. Hang up on all the callers now who are supporting Kane. Let's see what's left on the board. Look what I have here. There, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 callers are all love Kane. Take them down. I want to see a blank canvas. 3, 4. Go ahead, 5. Blank board. Here's radio. You have like 9 lights, and they're all lit up red because I use the Telo system, and I use a certain kind of system that I developed for radio many years ago. So I get feedback by the number of callers. I get the lights going like a pinball machine. So one of the things most talkers don't want is a blank board. It's like an artist with a blank canvas. It's like a writer with a blank piece of paper. Well, that's when you use paper. It's a terrifying thing to people who are not like me. I'm not afraid of the blank canvas. I'm not afraid of the blank page, nor am I afraid of the blank board. In fact, I like a blank board because as much as I hated blackboards, I like a blank board because I can fill it in better than you would imagine. What would you like me to talk about? This is now your show. We're moving into the end, the Rainbow Coalition portion of the Savage Nation. Remember I told you the story about Rainbow? Whatever happened to the Rainbow Coalition? Where'd they all go? Remember that? Where the Rainbow Coalition? All those things are like around. Where are they today? They're making so much money with Obama in power. You'll never hear from them again. You notice the rent-a-mobs are gone? They put one of the sham artists on MSNBC. He took a 90-pound weight loss. He went to the fourth grade, and he's got a show for General Electric, acting as a shill, not talking about why they don't pay any taxes. And every night he talks about the rich should pay more taxes, while his company, his parent company, pays none. Okay, this is great. This is right out of Alice in Wonderland. The other one must be doing so good that he doesn't need to take the buses with the rent-a-mob because they're all working in the Obama administration. What's the point of rioting? And now we had the Occupy movement. It came and it went. They left behind fecal matter and trash. Sorry to be so vulgar, but that's an idea now of what that's your idea of who they were and the effect they had on society. So far, no fill-in. That's all zero. I still got no calls to go with. But I'm not ready for a break. I'm sorry. I am not ready for a break. We got Newt Gingrich. We got Herman Cain. We got President Obama on the Muslim Brotherhood taking over the Arab Crescent. I don't know whether he's happy or sad about it. Let's hear clip 10 from February 6th, 11. This is our President Obama. Come on, guys, wake up, would you please? Clip 10. Clip 10.
The Muslim Brotherhood is one faction in Egypt. Mm-hmm. They don't have majority support in Egypt, mm-hmm. but they are well organized, and there are strains of their ideology.
All right, let's stop right here. He was wrong about that. That's our president. See, now, if we had a legitimate government, someone would say, wait a minute. Aren't you worried that the Muslim Brotherhood took over Egypt after you overthrew Mubarak? But instead they attacked Cain. I'll be back.
Savage.
Because I'm down in the dumps and I'm missing my dog, Teddy. We're playing him barking to a Christmas tune. Oh, Teddy, I miss you. But there's a special treat. My producers they got a special treat for me and you. Those of you who listen to the show regularly know I love my dog, Teddy, and I'm 3,000 miles away from him. I miss him. On the phone with us right now on the Savage Nation is Irene, the inimitable dog care person. Irene, how's Teddy doing?
Teddy's doing just fine.
Where is he? Like right now, give me a picture. Where's Teddy, Tasha, and Toby? Where are they?
Well, Teddy has got his usual perch spot on top of the sofa.
Yeah.
Tasha is laying on his little cushion that he has lower down on the sofa.
Right.
And Toby is on the floor kind of looking at me.
So Teddy's still the dominant one.
I don't know about that. Everybody has kind of a give and take thing.
But don't you have other dogs in the house? You have your own dog, Chester, right?
Yes.
And where is Chester, right? Like, you're all on the sofa watching, getting ready for TV. So Teddy's on the cushion, on the top, on the arm. Where's your dog?
My dog is where a person would sit, on the sofa, on that part of the sofa. He's also curled up.
Has Teddy been out today? You took him on a long walk?
Yes, I took everybody on a long walk, so now everybody's all relaxed.
Does he miss me, or he never says anything about me anymore?
Well, Teddy likes everybody.
Oh, thank you very much. Now you sound like my mother.
Well,
you know what is this? Everybody's starting to turn into my mother. The whole world's like my mother. They don't give me any credit for anything. What an answer that is. Teddy likes everybody. That's great. That's terrific. Don't worry. You're terrific. Everybody should only live and be well.
Well, he'll be happy to see you when you get back, I'm sure. But
is he listening right now, Irene? Is Teddy there?
Yes, he is.
Teddy! I knew a guy in the Navy. You know what he used to do, Irene? He would send his dog a sock from the ship, a dirty sock that he didn't wash, and the wife would give it to the dog. But instead of that, I'll be home in 2 days with a dirty sock.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I think this is the core challenge of America, is that beyond the words is a real question of policy and a real question of values and a real question of seriousness. The real question of policy.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
Newt Gingrich has been on both sides of a long list of issues, sometimes in the same week.
I don't think right-wing social engineering is any more desirable than left-wing social engineering.
With allies like that, who needs the left?
And a real question of value. Question of values.
If you want to put people in jail, let's look at the politicians who created the environment, the politicians who profited from the environment, politicians who profited from the environment.
Newt Gingrich on the defense for taking $1.5 million.
After he left Congress, Freddie Mac paid Gingrich at least $1.6
million. $1.6 million, some of it just before the housing market collapsed.
Newt Gingrich can ridicule Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac publicly while privately pocketing millions.
That's hardcore lobbying, and that's what Newt Gingrich was doing.
Politicians who profited from the environment.
There are now reports about controversial ties to the healthcare industry.
Newt Gingrich renewed his support for an individual mandate, a key tenet of President Obama's healthcare law.
And a real question of seriousness, serious question of seriousness.
Everything that Gingrich railed against when he was in the House, he went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
You're an embarrassment to our party.
He's flipped and flopped based on who's paying him.
He's demonstrating himself to be the very essence of the Washington insiders.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
It's wrong to go around and adopt radically different positions, because then people have to ask themselves, what will you tell me next time?
And here's what's on michaelsavage.com. There are so many stories, it's hard to know where to begin. So, 10 months ago, John McCain said Muslim Brotherhood couldn't win in Egypt. Guess what? The Muslim Brotherhood is winning in Egypt. Thank you. Thank you, liberal Republicans. Well, it's sickening. The Stalinist Democrats are pushing back against any voter ID laws. They say that there is no voter fraud. A new visa bill passed that would pave the way for more Mexicans to make the United States a home. Passed the House with a 389-15 vote. I guess everyone's now catering to La Raza. Occupy LA is over. 30 tons of garbage was left behind. They're clearly who they are. Obama says he's done more for Israel than any previous administration. Okay. Former top Israeli general says Iran explosions are not accidents. He fans speculation that an undeclared war is underway with Iran. Bonnie Frank, well, what can you say about Donnie Frank? Donnie Frank. Here is a story on michaelsavage.com. The First Lady dines on chocolates and swordfish sliders. Dessert featured an edible chocolate sculpture, but she tells you to eat carrots. Your friends, the Muslims, killed at least 45 Christians in Nigeria. A sheriff of the year in Colorado accused of offering a man methamphetamines for sex. Only in San Francisco, a school chief who was fired and took a bailout of hundreds of thousands of dollars and then went across the country and also got fired and got an $800,000 to $900,000 bailout has now gone on unemployment after a $1 million buyout. That's right. Take a look at her. Take a look at her. All this and more on michaelsavage.com. What else is in the news? The Islamists are taking Egypt by storm. Thank you, George Soros, Jimmy Carter, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. Cain is now saying, I gave money to the accuser, Ginger White, without wife's knowledge. Oh, God. Oh, God, Herman. He gave the woman who claims they had an affair money without his wife's knowledge. He helped Ginger White with month-to-month bills and expenses. Cain says that she sent him around 70 text messages between October and November because she was in financial trouble. Old Cain says she wasn't the only friend who I had helped in those tough economic times. Blah, blah, blah. Cain continues to deny any sort of affair, and he told the paper that he told his wife, Gloria, about the White affair after she went public. The former business exec says, whatever, he's finished. I wonder what he's going to do after this. So let's go through this. I mean, now that he drops out, if Cain drops out, he had me fooled. I mean, the guy is a zombie at this point. He's literally the walking dead.
I think the problem is that the poor children, keep in mind it's 42% of poor children who live at or near poverty. It's 25% in poverty. Our audience needs to keep that in mind. But poor children need more than just $1,000 for their family. They need a war against poverty to make it a major priority in the way in which we had a priority for Afghanistan, a priority to bail out banks, and a priority to defend corporate interests when it comes to environmental issues. It's a major question of priorities here. That's why the Occupy movement is so important, because some of this is going to be fought in the streets.
Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. So let's see. What can Cain do after this is the question.
He could always go back to flipping pizzas.
That's obvious. He could certainly become a columnist. Will talk radio accept him if he has no credibility?
He's done that before. That's true.
He can't go. He can't do it again. If it turns out he was lying, he has no future, truthfully.
Since he has so much experience giving financial assistance to people, maybe he could be a credit counselor or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe he could work for Fannie Mae. He's perfect for that.
There you go. There you go.
Maybe he can go to work as Barney Frank's personal assistant, the way Reggie was for Obama.
His body man, right.
He could be Barney Frank's body man.
There you go.
Right? Occupy LA leaves behind 30 tons of trash. They had to use hazmat suits to go in there. Can you believe it? Does that not tell you everything you need to know about these brats?
Hazardous material warning.
Hazmat. Well, there's a lot of big news out there. There's a lot of big news out there. It's not all good, by the way. Not all good out there. Where's old Mitt Romney in the middle of all of this, I wonder? Newt. How could anyone get excited about that?
The root word of neutered.
New York Post. I don't read it anymore. I've stopped going on the site. I can't take it. Every day it's the same thing about a woman with an overly long name, an overly large behind, and an overly large lips. Why is it every day? What's this obsession? Okay, let's see what else is in the news on michaelsavage.com and all the other websites. I guess you're going to have to listen to the show to find out, because we're talking about all of the stuff that Obama is doing to the world. Gingrich now says poor kids have no habits of working. Amnesty International is under fire after calling for former President Bush's arrest. Can you believe this? This is all in the news. It's good to be living in interesting times. I'll be right back right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Yeah, remember that sound from my show back in the early Mind Family? I see the audience already half of them gone for the week. The economy's so bad, how come the restaurants are so full? I don't understand that. If the economy's so bad, how come the restaurants are packed? The roads are full of new cars. People are on vacation already. How does this work? I don't know. What is there, like two societies that I'm living in? I'm going to ask you a question on the Savage Nation. Do you want me to continue reading from the Political Zoo, being sarcastic or satirizing politicians and media figures? Because most of you never heard of the book. Or you want me to do something else? It's open mic to Mike at the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Really, I'll work for you. We'll work for food. We'll work for you. We'll work for food. So to just show you one last one for the moment, I did both sides of the aisle, liberal and conservative, which virtually no one else could say they did back in those days. This is how I established my independent credentials. And in the Political Zoo, the satire of these various figures, I satirized Boxer, Bush, Jimmy Carter, James Carville, Hugo Chavez, Dick Cheney, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, George Clooney, Katie Couric, Maureen Dowd, Dianne Feinstein, Newt Gingrich, Ruth Gator Ginsburg, Rudy Giuliani. Where is he, by the way? How come he hasn't thrown his glasses in the ring? Al Gore, Jesse Jackson, Kim Jong-il, John Kerry, Larry King, Rush Limbaugh, Bill Maher, John McCain, Bill O'Reilly. That's why he never forgave me. It's why I'm banned on Fox News. He has the worst temper in the entire media, according to people who know him. The meanest of all of them is O'Reilly. No humor whatsoever. I mean, they claim liberals have no humor. This guy has never forgiven me for a few things I said about him. All I do is call him a leprechaun. Big deal, Bill. Sheesh, Bill. All I said was lecherous leprechaunus. I mean, what was so bad about that, Bill? Bill O'Reilly was known as top mammal in the Fox News pundit cage, the American porcupine being a large terrestrial rodent well protected by its prickly exterior. Ooh. And his Latin binomial was lecherous leprechaunus. When challenged, it erects its quills, swings its stout tail, and threatens to release the barbed tips into challenger's skin. Known for its grunting or groaning delivery, the porcupine is active mainly at night and is found occasionally on televisions in the sagebrush plains of the West. Also, according to legal filings that were settled, the American porcupine will occasionally try to find cable station staff willing to play games like Fetch the Loofah as part of its bizarre mating ritual. So that's why you never see Michael Savage on, that talk show. They bring up talk shows you never heard of. Never Michael. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm too far advanced in my career for it to matter. So you could see why the O'Reilly factor runs the station. But until then, a word of warning to all you ladies out there in the Savage Nation, I wrote. If you phone O'Reilly's show during porcupine mating season, which lasts from about January to December, do your best to sound like Janet Reno, avoid the subjects of Greek food and cleansing devices, and above all, steer clear of the porcupine's biggest turn-on, namely himself. Oh! A porcupine in heat is a dangerous beast. If he loves you, you'll be able to count the ways. If he loves you, I haven't read this in years. If he loves you, you'll be able to count the ways. In fact, you'll be able to count them by the thousands while you pluck them the morning after. Oh, come on, Bill. Have a sense of humor. Don't be like Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton. Nancy Pelosi was known as, leftist irrationalis. Nancy Pelosi, leftist irrationalis. With its large beak and small head, the distempered rainbow parakeet, the distempered rainbow parakeet caws with great frequency and volume, yet lacks mental capacity to emit anything original or intelligent. Fortunately, the bird has developed an adaptation that helps it to cope with this problem. The beak's large upper mandible is notched for its little bird foot to fit in. Decked with bright blue plumage, the female of the species mates for life, usually with strong and crafty males, capable of building large nests and stashing a surplus of fruits and nuts therein. Not only does this preserve the pair from want, but also frees the female to spend nearly all of its waking hours bobbing through the jungle, screeching at any animals not of its flock, and pretending to care about those that have no nests and food at all. Although its original habitat was Maryland, the breed has since migrated to the San Francisco Bay Area, where it aggressively climbed the political pecking order. Today it can be found both in California and Washington, D.C., chirping away mindlessly in either environ. Curiously, aside from its lower-than-average intelligence, the parakeet suffers from one prominent congenital disability. It is only capable of flapping about in circles, primarily because it is born with only a left wing. Nobody has ever written anything better than this, political satire in our time. Sean Penn, pesky apologista. Native to the left coast, the big-beaked toucan is a colorful and perpetually ill-tempered bird of paradise, born and bred in the protected environs of Hollywood. But unlike most toucans, this one is strangely compelled to migrate to war zones and disaster areas. While adverse to the glare of flashbulbs, hence the bird's notoriety for striking out at photographers, the big-beaked toucan can deftly mimic the dove when in front of television news cameras. This particular breed of toucan gets its name from its decidedly large beak, perfect for tracking down bad scripts and sticking that giant proboscis where it doesn't belong. Not bad. Sean Penn, the toucan tough guy, has a long history of appearances in cinema. It's pretty good. I'm not going to read it all to you. Yes or no? Keep it up or not? What would you like to hear? Houston, Texas. Jared, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, who do you like?
Well, none of them are living.
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you do the zoo, and you had to identify...
Wait a minute. See, this is an interesting question. Must I like any of the Republican candidates? Is it a requirement?
No. But there's got to be someone...
So, in other words, I'm a commentator. Remember that. I'm only a commentator. And my job is to be a pain in the you-know-what for the political class. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. That's my job. Now, the truth is 80% of the criminals are Democrats. 20% of them are Republicans, and they're all bad in that regard. But that doesn't mean I have to give one group a pass because they're not Democrats. The Democrats are virtually all corrupt. Every one of them is a corrupt socialist, without exception. I don't know of a single exception. With Republicans, there's probably, I don't know, a good percentage of them who are honest men. But a lot of them are louts, total louts and criminals, just like their Democrat colleagues, which is why nothing changes in Washington, which is a good thing, actually. It's actually a good thing because more or less the restaurants are still full. People are going away for vacation. Most of us could go around without guns in our hand. And so we almost had an insurrection in America. Don't tell me it's Iowa again. I can't take it. First of all, I never met anyone from Iowa. That's number one. How do they know what's going to... Why do I care what a bunch of fat farmers in Iowa think about the election? How did this happen? This goes back to the 18th century when Iowa was important. I don't understand how they get away with this. Hundreds of years... Look, it's apparent to many of us that Newt Gingrich is working with the Democrat Party to keep Mitt Romney from getting the GOP nomination. So does the new front runner, Newt Gingrich, stand any chance of beating President Obama if he should win? Well, joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this is political strategist Matt Maciejak. Matt, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, great to be with you.
What is your opinion on the rise of Newt Gingrich?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty unpredictable scenario. I mean, he was left for dead, his campaign staff left. And what's interesting about Newt Gingrich is his mouth got him out of the race when he went on those two Sunday shows and first attacked Paul Ryan and then was confronted with the questions about Tiffany's. But what's interesting is his mouth has gotten him back into it because he's compared favorably at the debates to the other candidates. But, of course, you know, anytime you're betting on your mouth, it can get you back into trouble. We've seen that with Obama. I mean, he's someone who had a silver tongue and could, you know, was so inspirational to so many people. Now he's someone who I think people don't necessarily trust anymore. So that's something that Newt's going to have to deal with. Can he run a campaign that is disciplined, that is focused, that is professional? Because he hasn't been doing that so far. What he's been doing is basically doing movie screenings, book signings, and showing up at debates and not doing anything else serious. He just opened his first Iowa office. We are now 4.5 weeks from Iowa voting. That's hard to organize 99 counties in Iowa in 4.5 weeks. I know I managed Linn County in Cedar Rapids for Bush Cheney 2004. It's a big state, and so he's competing against a lot of other candidates who've been there a lot longer. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, Newt's rise, I think, has a lot to do with a lot of other candidates having trouble. But it also has to do with the fact that he is pretty intelligent, and he's been around a while, and he knows a lot about issues.
Do you actually think that the GOPAC tick can beat Obama if, God forbid, he gets the nomination?
I mean, to be candid with you, I have some real concern of if Newt's the nominee about his electability. I mean, right now, no one's been attacking Newt because he's been a second or third tier candidate for most of this year. When people are educated about some of the things in his background that are going to be unappealing to independents, I think he may have a problem. The other problem Newt has is he represents the past for a lot of people. And elections, you know, successful campaigns and elections are always about the future and inspiring people about the future. And so that's Newt's challenge. It's going to be turning that corner, making people forget the past, some of the ethics problems, some of the personal problems, leaving the office of Speaker in a cloud, some of his, you know, sort of strange positions on some issues like climate change and the individual mandate, et cetera. He's got to make people forget about the past. He's got to be able to embody what the future would look like if he's president. I am concerned that if he's the nominee, that he's going to have a difficult time doing that, particularly since he's shown, particularly over the last 10 or 15 years, that he has a real lack of discipline.
Is there any candidate in this ridiculous field that can actually beat Obama?
You know, look, I think in this environment, I think Obama is so weak, the economy is so weak, that there's a chance that any of the three candidates who still have a path to the nomination, Romney, Newt, and Perry, could win. Ultimately, for me, the question is, who has the best chance to win, and then who's going to be the best president? And so if you believe, as I do, that America's facing greater challenges than we have since World War II, since the Depression, and that the only solutions that will bring us, you know, from the edge of the abyss are truly conservative solutions to fix the direction of the country, to save America, then we need someone with courage, and we need someone who's a conservative. And ultimately, I believe that the strongest possible contrast with Obama will be our strongest candidate. I think if there's a candidate that you can say is similar to Obama or doesn't fire up our base in what I think will be a base election, I think that we could have a problem, and we could have a third-party challenge. It's one of the problems with Romney. If Romney's a nominee, you could have a third-party challenge. I hope we don't, but you could, and that could take 2 or 3%, and that could elect Obama. I don't see the possibility for a third-party challenge if Perry's a nominee. I think Perry would fire up the base. He'd have to, you know, obviously improve significantly from the debates. He'd have to become more knowledgeable about some issues. But I think in terms of base support, in terms of his record in Texas, I think he has some strong attributes. Newt is sort of in the middle. I think he's got some of Perry's attributes, some of Romney's attributes, and I think he has some of Romney's weaknesses and some of Perry's weaknesses. So in a way, he's kind of a combination of both. Ultimately, again, I think this is going to come down to a Romney versus an anti-Romney race. The question is, who's going to consolidate conservatives behind them as the conservative anti-Romney candidate? Right now, it appears Newt has the inside track for that. But he does not have much of an organization. He has not raised very much money. We will see how his count-the-vote operation is in some of these early states.
Are you worried that if Newt somehow does become president, he'll just be a big government Republican and thus destroy the country?
I'm very unenthusiastic on a personal level about Romney. I think, you know, what Romney has represented throughout his career is someone who's been opportunistic and borderline phony, someone who's willing to say anything. I mean, he's pro-choice from 1957 to 2003, decided he's not running for re-election, uses stem cells as a cover to say that he's not pro-life, doesn't sign the ATR tax pledge when he runs for governor, decides he's not running for re-election in 2003 and that he's running for president, and then signs the anti-tax pledge after he's raised taxes in Massachusetts. I mean, there's issue after issue that he's changed on. So Romney is someone that I'm just not personally enthusiastic about. Do I think he could win? Yes. Do I think he'll be a great president that will demonstrate courage and bring forward truly conservative solutions to save America? I do not have a level of confidence about that. Now, the question then becomes, what about Newt? What about Perry? You know, Newt has shown some things that are appealing and give you cause for optimism. He's also shown a lot of areas where he's disappointed us. I mean, a lot of areas. And he's been all over the map on some different issues. So, again, it comes down to discipline and focus. I think in his heart, Newt believes he's a conservative, but he's got to convince conservatives that he's a conservative.
Okay, so who in your mind are the best choices to get the GOP vice presidential nominee?
The most likely scenario that I foresee right now is that Newt, and this is something that's based on speculation, but not you know, direct knowledge, is I think that Perry and Newt will team up after South Carolina. I think whoever wins South Carolina will be the presidential nominee. The other one will endorse whoever doesn't win, and perhaps they'll be on the ticket. Either they'll cut the deal then, or they'll even announce it then. I think that has a real chance, because I think Perry plus Newt or Newt plus Perry beats Romney. Now, in terms of attractive choices or vice president, I think, of course, it depends who the nominee is. Romney needs a certain kind of vice president, Perry needs a certain kind, and Newt would too. I think that the short list will include definitely Marco Rubio of Florida, definitely Paul Ryan, Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. You could have some governors in there like Bobby Jindal of Louisiana, Bob McDonnell of Virginia. Chris Christie would be possible, although he's so bombastic and so direct that I don't know if he'd be well-suited as vice president. You'll have a couple female people in there, female candidates as well. I think Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina, is extraordinarily attractive as a political figure and a real conservative. Perhaps Susana Martinez in New Mexico. It's a border state, a swing state. She's had a good record of reform in her year and a half as governor. So there are some attractive choices out there. I suspect that those and perhaps a couple others will be on the list.
Matt Mikowiak, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to be with you. You can learn more about me at PotomacStrategyGroup.com.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I think the problem is that the poor children, keep in mind, it's 42% of poor children who live at or near poverty. It's 25% in poverty. Our audience needs to keep that in mind. But poor children need more than just $1,000 for their family. They need a war against poverty to make it a major priority in the way in which we had a priority for Afghanistan, a priority to bail out banks, and a priority to defend corporate interests when it comes to environmental issues. It's a major question of priorities here. That's why the Occupy movement is so important, because some of this is going to be fought in the streets.
New York WOR, Daniel, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael, at the beginning of your show, you asked why people listen to you. Well, I tell you, I've listened to talk radio for years, and I've listened to you for years. You're the only place I can go where you're balanced, you're multifaceted. You give us the truth, and right now, America is in bad, bad shape. And I get inspiration from you. You talk about food. You talk about little Teddy. You're very human. You're ordinary, but then you're extraordinary. You're a man beyond your years. And I just wish and
beautiful. You're like a relative. You're like a relative I wish I had.
I mean, it's just incredible what you do. You inspire me. I work 14, 15-hour days. You pick me up at the end of the day, and you keep me going. You inspire me. I start writing my own stuff at night on how I can be a better
really?
Person.
Really? That's interesting. Let me ask you something. I did a diversion in the last segment about these old stories of mine that I found, and I read from one of them. Did you find that distracting, or did you find it was a good part of the show?
Oh, I find... It was refreshing. I still think about when you wrote about Dead Man's Pants, because as a kid, I lived through that. I wore Dead
Man's Pants. Interesting. You know, I told my agent I want to publish all of my unpublished writings in one or two volumes or one big volume, and he said, why? I said, because it will distinguish me from all the other people in the media. None of them have this. They have what they have, okay? I don't have to knock them. But none of them have this. None of them was a writer for 25 years, and none of them have the range of my interests and my abilities. And I said, that's the only way to distinguish myself. I don't want to do just another this or another that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're courageous on top of that, when nobody else is courageous. You don't worry about anything. You just forge ahead with your own...
Well, I am. You see, this is not true. I do worry about it.
Amos, you likened this to the civil rights movement, to Rosa Parks. Do you think that this is...
But by privacy of the officers violating the First Amendment, you violate us, the Internet violates you.
You're listening to the sounds of the drugged-up vermin.
Dakota Officer Junio, J-U-N-I-O. Officer,
you're listening to the worst scum of the earth, calling out the names of San Francisco Police Department officers.
Dakota, C-O-T-A.
Telling the group Anonymous to do what they want with these police officers' identities.
Write them off for disrespect, ignorance of the First Amendment. And there they go, as soon as they saw that we were reading out their names to be doxxed.
You see, they're taunting the police, and since we do not have a mayor, no one knows who he is, since we have a governor put in by the unions who's invisible right now, He may as well be Moonbeam on the moon, because he's nowhere to be seen when you have such civil disobedience reaching a level where business is being interrupted, the public safety is being affected, public health is being affected, and there's no governor. I'm all in favor of the right to protest. I live by the First Amendment. However, I do not interfere with other people's rights to come to and from work, go to a hospital. I don't interfere with their public health. I don't engage in sexual assault or rape or thievery. I don't use drugs. Do you understand the difference? Do you not understand the difference, Peggy, in New York on WOR? Go ahead, please.
Michael, First Amendment. Always. You always talk about the First Amendment. You say it in your commercials. Freedom of speech. This is freedom of speech.
What are you hysterical about? You mean you don't know the difference between freedom of speech? Wait, be quiet. You don't know the difference between freedom of speech and sexual assault, thievery, drug use?
New York City. No. These kids are doing the right thing. Freedom of speech.
These kids? Have you been there? Have you seen that they're not kids?
Excuse me?
What'd you go limp all of a sudden? Your union controller told you what to say and then told you to hang up? What do you mean, these kids? Have you been there and seen them?
I've seen plenty, yes. And
what are you an unemployed vagrant yourself?
No.
What exactly do you do for the society at large? Since you're so concerned with social welfare of our society, what do you do for the society?
I did plenty. I worked very hard. And now
you did what? Okay, what did you do? Let's hear what you did.
I worked for 20 years, and now I'm enjoying my retirement. But when I look at television,
oh, you're enjoying your retirement. How are you enjoying it?
They've had protests.
Are you laying in a tent with one of the youngsters? Is that why you enjoy the young people?
No, I enjoy that they're doing that. What's good for the country? So let them know. Let the government know what's going on.
But you're enjoying your retirement. How come you're not donating your hard-earned cash to those who are engaging in these things?
I give my cash to the veterans, which I'm sorry that nobody talks about the veterans. They talk about this.
Oh, so you think that these vermin in the gutters are now like veterans who fought for our freedom?
No, but I say I give to the veterans, for the disabled veterans.
Well, that's all well and good, but how do you jumble up veterans with the vermin in the gutter?
No, they're not vermin in the gutter at all. No.
Well, why don't you go join them, and why don't you take your retirement and give it to them? Why don't you donate it to them?
No, I did my share.
All right, take a walk, okay? Leave me alone already. I can't. See, this is the problem. You've got gullible, you've got miserable people, gullible people, angry people. This is what is dangerous. I went in front of this crowd and I saw them. I saw who these hardcore rats are. Let me explain to you. These are not kids. And let me tell you something else. I'm a student of history. Do you know who Hitler used in the concentration camps to beat up and to kill and torture his victims? It was the vagrants like this. He got bums like this. He gave them a uniform. He gave them clubs. He gave them guns. He gave them police dogs. And he told them to keep the people in order. They were not ordinary Germans. They were the discontent. They were the malcontents. They were the sadists like this. These mobs are filled with some of the most dangerous people in American society. Make no mistake about it. The reason they're in the streets is because they hate the society. They're malcontents. They're maladjusted. They have never conformed. They never will conform. They'd like to bring down the entire edifice, and we will all suffer as a result. They're not just innocent kids who want justice in this society. If they did, they'd be outside the General Electric building. They'd be rioting outside the GE building saying, pay your fair share of taxes. Or in San Francisco, if these were kids, they'd be outside Feinstein's house saying, how did you invest in a company knowing it would get a $24 million loan? But they're not outside those houses, are they? They have been deflected onto the wrong targets. How do you confuse the First Amendment with taking over a park and using it as a public outhouse? How do you confuse expressing the First Amendment with raping people, robbing people, scamming people into donating money, and then using it to purchase drugs? How do you not understand what is going on here? You know, last night I watched a TV show that had me so upset I couldn't sleep. I told you I'm a fan of military history. I watch it repeatedly. Last night they had a show on about Nazi collaborators. This is a series they've been running. It's astounding. It's one of the best sequences I've ever seen. Well, last night it was about the Croatian Catholics. the member of the Ustashi and what they did to Serbs and Jews. You don't know what went on there. I knew a lot about it when Serbia was being mercilessly bombed by Bill Clinton. You didn't know that Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright committed war crimes when they attacked the Serbs who were defending themselves against the very people who threw their parents into graves while they were alive, stabbed their children to death. You had no idea what was going on then, just as most of you don't have any idea what's going on now. The masses of people in this country are total ignoramuses. And that's why these Occupy groups are getting away with this kind of a situation. It's because you don't even understand where they stand with regard to history. Just as you didn't understand that your boy, Bill Clinton, conducted a massive war crime when he unleashed U.S. bombers repainted as NATO bombers on Serbia, which had not been bombed since 1941 by the Nazis, and blew up every bridge on the Danube River, and stopped the Serbs from defending themselves against the Nazi descendants who were threatening them again, and stole Kosovo from the Serbs. You didn't understand any of it. Instead, you went along with the lockstep liberals who told you he was liberating the concentration camps. The Serbs were defending themselves against the Croatian Nazi movement that had been reignited by the leadership of Croatia after the Balkans started to blow up again. It's too long a story for me to tell you all at once and in 3 or 4 minutes. But let me tell you something. The very same ignorant mentality that let Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright get away with a war crime is letting this situation here in the Occupy movements, a communist front group, a communist movement that threatens the stability of all of us, even that old retired woman doesn't even understand it. That is why they're getting away with it, because they have the sympathy of the ignorant. And when you have the sympathy of the ignorant, you can get away with virtual murder or war crimes or the bombing of an innocent population or the stealing of an entire province of a nation. You can get away with anything, even a $1.4 billion loan to the Kennedys. You don't see any Occupy outside of Kennedys.